sing this song, and then we'll have our scripture reading and go to our Heavenly Father in prayer.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make up my troubles quickly and in. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil alerts me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Dwayne told me that he plans to speak on priorities tonight, so I wanted to pick a verse that may or may not be in his lesson, I'm not sure, but has to do with our priorities. So if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we'll start in verse 37 and read to the end of the chapter. Starting in verse 37 of Matthew chapter 10, it says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, I tell you the truth, he will never lose his reward."
Let us pray. Lord, we're so thankful for this day you've given us and all the wonderful and many blessings of this day and each and every day that you bless us, that we're alive and that you bless us, Lord. We're so thankful for those. We're so thankful that we can gather here this evening to hear a portion of your word, to sing songs of praises to you. Most of all, we're so thankful for your son that you sent to die upon that cross for our sins. And at this time, we ask that if it be your will, that you would forgive us of our sins so that we may be pure in your sight. And Lord, we're so thankful for this congregation that meets here. We pray that you would be with us. And may Eastside have many more years of service to you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that as we go into this hour of study, that everything that is said and done will be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that we would all clear our minds of worldly things and think about what's being said and sung to you. Lord, we thank you so much for all the many blessings, and we ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
If you would, mark your songbooks at number 315. That'll be our song of encouragement tonight. At the end of Brother Swing's lesson, 315. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 210. 210.
Walking alone at even, viewing the skies afar, feeling the darkness come to welcome the silver star. I am a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love. Oh, for a home.
now I feel like a preacher. This is the third or fourth time I've preached, but this is the first time I've ever had to lapel mic, so now I know what it feels like to be a preacher. Wanted to thank everyone for being here. Of course, thank the elders for allowing me to preach. It's been about 2.5 years since I last preached. Most of you know it's been a busy last couple of years, especially the last year with the twins, so been a lot of things going on. When I started thinking about what I was going to preach about several months ago, I had to start thinking about what I needed to work on myself. When I do my Wednesday night invitations, when it's my turn, or in my previous times whenever I've preached, I've always tried to think about what I needed to work on. There were a few topics that came to mind, but this one, the one that I'm going to preach on is, my brother said earlier, is on priorities. If you ask Bethany, my wife, about my Saturdays. My Saturdays I typically have planned out usually the Monday before or even earlier. My Saturdays, like a lot of people, normally consist of a lot of things, mowing, yard work, different things like that, washing cars, maintenance on vehicles, various errands that have to do. Most people know I've got a shop. I like doing things in my shop, working on cars. And the kids, the girls, normally end up out there with me. They're trying to help me do something, wash a car, paint, whatever it may be. And then, of course, I've always got a list of honeydews that get handed to me. But, of course, this one day that this topic came up, I realized I'd left one thing out. And one Saturday, I got done for the day. I was sitting in my chair, and I looked over, and I saw the Bible sitting there. And that's when it hit me that I had planned my entire day out and did not make a plan for when I was going to read my Bible, study my Bible. And like most people, I know a lot of people get busy. My mom and stepdad are here with us tonight, and my stepdad and I, we always talk about how busy we are and how if there were 48 hours in a day, we would still never get everything done. And when I started just this week, I asked Mike, I said, is it okay if I preach about this? I'm telling people that I struggle with this, that I have trouble setting time aside to do this. And he said, yeah, by all means, it's okay. Everybody else goes through the same thing. So as I said, my lesson tonight's on priorities, and examples from the Bible. And we read from the Bible directions and instruction on how to do things. Of course, there's a lot of examples that we see. Jesus had several priorities in his time here on earth. He was consistently seeking the Father, along with other objectives that he knew he needed to do. The first thing is that Jesus taught God's word. In John 1:14. We read that Jesus speaks of God's word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We also see examples where Jesus spoke and directed people back to the written word. In Luke 10:25-27, in verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? In 27, and he answered, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbors as thyself. The second example that we can see of this is of referring people back to the written word. In Matthew 19:16-21, we read about another rich man asking the same question. In Matthew 19, as I said, 16-21, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which Jesus said, Thou shalt not do murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And in verse 20, the young man said to him, All these things I have kept from my youth up, what do I lack? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all thy hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Why are these two examples of scripture, why are they important? Well, he was following through with one of his priorities by teaching the word. He was teaching the word in both of these, and he was giving examples. The next thing that Jesus did, one of his priorities, was that he served. One of the best examples that we see of this is where Jesus would wash his disciples' feet. And in John 13, 1 through 17, and this is a lengthy read, but I felt I needed to put it in. In John 13, 1 through 17, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them on to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything so that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from his table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, You will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Jesus replied, A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, Not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So there's two verses that I wanted to point out in this long length of scripture. In verse 14, Jesus is making a point to say, I, your Lord and teacher. He's making a point to tell the disciples who he is to them, but yet he could still perform the labor. He still could do the work that he was doing. And in verse 16, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. That point is fairly straightforward because we are all equal. The next thing Jesus did was he equipped leaders. As much as Jesus wanted to recruit people to follow him and listen to his word, he also knew that he needed to get people behind him and follow him. These leaders would continue to do the work after he was gone, and that was invested in by him, by Jesus and God. So who did Jesus send out to lead? Well, we know that he sent 12 apostles out. In Matthew 10, 1 through 4, we read, And when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, who is his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. We see here that Jesus wanted the apostles to go out and lead. The next thing that I have is one of the easiest expressions of Jesus' priority while he was here. In John 6:38, we read, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of the one that sent me. Other examples of priorities in the Bible that we read, that we can look at, are examples of good and bad priorities that are also in there. One example of having the right priority, in Luke 5:11, we can read, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So in this scripture, we can read, we want to see what they did. And what they did was they left everything and followed Jesus. On the other hand, we have an example of bad priority in the scripture. In Luke 9:57-62, we read, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee with whoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first and bid them farewell which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to his plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So in this scripture, we can look at what happened as they were looking, these people in this scripture that were trying to follow Jesus, they were looking out more for physical comfort, prosperity, and other matters that were more important to them than Jesus. Next, we can look at the part of priorities and one of the effects that it has in relation to priorities. And I call this busyness. In Proverbs 23:4, "Do not toil to acquire wealth, be disconcerting enough to desist." This verse mentions wealth, but we can look at more things and apply that to more things than just wealth. And several things can be hobbies, sports. I have in my notes extracurricular work, and that's things that I would call part of what I would be doing on a Saturday. Things not necessarily work that we're having to do to supply our family and pay for things so we can do our regular living, but things that would take place outside of that. And then one of the effects that it can have is guilt. If your priorities have went away from God, then He will forgive you. Isaiah 43:25 reads, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and He will not remember thy sins." And another scripture, 1 John 9 reads, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What are we as Christians supposed to have as far as priorities? Jesus wants us to pray. Jesus sought God continually in His prayer. In Luke 22:39-40, we read, "And He came out and went, and as He went to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." So, talking about temptation here, so how is that an example of a priority? Well, here Jesus is telling His disciples that temptation could replace God's will if He was not first. So putting Him first as their priority could be replaced by temptation. And I just referred to the Lord's will. God wants us to be obedient to Him. That's another priority. In Luke 6:46, we read, and I can't read this scripture without thinking about Brother Dick Brantley. I don't know how many times, I'm sure most of us remember him. This was one of his favorite scriptures. "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" And then in verses 47-49, we're given an example of what it would be like to not follow the word. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat firm upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Be he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat firm, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. In closing, that's the basis of my lesson tonight. But I do have several other scriptures that gives us examples of priorities. Exodus 20:1-3. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. In Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and earthly things. In Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The last verse of my lesson is Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I hope this lesson has helped someone out there, or maybe made everyone think about their priorities. As I said, this was kind of a difficult lesson to bring because I had two or three, and finally I just said, no, I'm going with this one. Because I know, like I said at the beginning, everyone, I'm sure, has other things that come up, and it's easy to get sidetracked. And I hope that I attempted, as Mike normally announces at the beginning of his lessons, I tried to bring everything scripturally, so I hope if I have not, that someone will point it out. So tonight, as I said, I hope this lesson helped. If you're a Christian and you've drawn away and your priorities have led you away from God and the church, or if you need to come forward and you've never been a member of the church, we pray that you come forward as we stand and sing.